Who is this guy?
I'm Batman.
You could be Batman.
Sure.
I'm Batman.
See?
I'm Batman.
We sound like Cookie Monster.
I'm Batman. That's Batman.
I'm Batman.
Listen, I'm Batman.
Oof, you even sound like a bad guy.
I swear I am a good guy.
Okay, Mr. Batman.
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 That's what I said, Batman.
No, you're saying Batman. Listen, I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
I want you to tell all your friends about me.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
This is the Bat Pod.
Grab your bat microphone, it's time to start the show. Like a court of owls, the mystery is starting to grow. Let there be no debate, it's about to begin. Keen like Bruce Wayne, quick like Tim Drake, fierce like Damien. Grab your headphones, listen up, you know you love it, drop the facade. Like the Dark Knight Detective, they've got some perspective. They're a pure crime-fighting collective. It's the Bat Pod.
Welcome to the Bat Pod. My name is Bill Beer. And joining me tonight, the king of CC's Pizza, Martin Ferretti.
Hello.
Mr. Sarcastic himself, Jay Loving.
Thank you.
It's true.
You took that as a compliment, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we've been away for a few weeks, but now we're back. Back and better than ever.
Listen, you're setting expectations really high right now.
I know, but better than ever. You know why we're better than ever? Because it's their 1-year anniversary.
Oh! Very good.
It's actually next week on Batman Day, so this is going to be released on our 1-year anniversary or somewhere close.
I had forgotten Batman Day was coming up.
Yes. I don't celebrate Batman Day because it's a bullshit made-up day. Oh, dang, now I have to beep that out. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Sorry,
Bill. It's all good. It's all good. I celebrated by launching the Batpod on that day. That's how I celebrated.
Very good.
So there you go. So tonight we're going to be discussing Batman number 78, Detective Comics 1011, The Curse of the White Knight number 2, Topic of the Week, and of course, we could not have an episode without Stump the Co-host.
Oh, we could easily have an episode without Stump the Co-host.
Yes.
No, we couldn't. Stump the Co-host. Okay. Okay, let's head to the books.
The Batpod is a spoiler podcast. Please read the comics we're reviewing so you can enjoy the show.
We are a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network.
Our first book is Batman number 78. Your writer is Tom King. Your artist is Clay Mann. Colorist, Tamu Mori. Letter, Clayton Cowles. Cover, Tony S. Daniel and Mori. Variant cover, Mann and Mori. Associate editor, Rob Levin. Editor, Jamie S. In this issue, it's all Selina and Bruce as Bruce is recuperating from his injuries. They hang out on the beach, they do a little rock climbing, and also we have discussion about their past relationship. And the question that's on the tip of her tongue: can Bruce put anything else above the vow? And that's the question I have right off the bat. This issue is solely about the relationship of a lot of dialogue about the relationship between Selina and Bruce. And the question is, well, the question for you guys is, do you think he can put anybody or anyone above his vow?
I sure hope not.
Oh, I feel the same way.
I don't think so. Now, could he put someone on the same level as the vow? Maybe.
I'd be down for that.
Yeah, I would be okay with that. But we get a lot of dialogue in this one. I, for one, haven't loved Tom King's dialogue all the time, but this was pretty good, I do have to say. You do get a lot of good characterization going back and forth. We get the bat and the cat, which at first I didn't really love. It's growing on me. What do you all guys think of the little nickname, the bat and the cat?
Jay, you love this stuff. You can go first.
I think it's appropriate in that Batman is really who he is. Bruce Wayne is the facade for the most part. You know, Batman is Batman, and Bruce Wayne is just the character he puts on. So calling him Bat, I think it's probably even more accurate than calling him Bruce.
My only issue is these walls are very thin. And whoever is on the other side of these rooms are like, why are they calling each other Bat and Cat?
True, but they don't actually come out and say Batman or Catwoman. So, I mean, but yeah. I don't know. I've never thought one way or other about it. It seems fine with me. It doesn't go against the grain to me or...
Well, it's not something new either. We've seen previously where they've called each other this. So I'm okay with it. Sometimes it feels like maybe it's overused just a little, but for the most part, I'm okay with it.
I think to follow up on what Jay said about the Bruce Wayne identity being the concocted identity, Selina Kyle's kind of her concocted identity as well. So I think just based on that, it makes sense that they would both call each other Cat and Bat.
I agree.
Okay. Yeah. So
now the one thing that is starting to wear on me a little bit is this argument. Did we meet on a boat or in the street? That was funny for a while.
Yeah.
It's starting a little run a little threadbare.
That's kind of played out.
Yeah.
Kind of played out a little bit. So.
And do people like even know? I mean, obviously we know, but will just like a general comic book reader know what the hell they're talking about anyway?
Probably not.
Someone who's not familiar with the Golden Age story of origin, no, wouldn't know, I would think.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, it's cool for Batman fans. I know I mentioned in our Twitter chat about the Easter egg about the real wedding in DC, was it DC Superstars or whatever book that was? I think it's like issue 17. I like that that was thrown in here. Because, I mean, when they announced the whole wedding thing, I knew that there was going to be no wedding. And the only, like, real wedding that they've ever had is in that issue. Obviously, that was that pre-crisis? That was pre-crisis. So, you know, back at that point, Huntress was their kid, so it explained the origin of the Huntress and, like, how they got married and, like, how that affected Bruce being Batman and Selina being Catwoman and then them retiring. And I think Bruce actually dies at the end of the story, if I'm not mistaken. Or maybe it's just like in a narration that they hint that he passed away. And Batwoman actually becomes like the Batman of Gotham. Yeah, I thought that whole thing's interesting. I like that Tom knows his stuff, right? He's obviously read a lot of Golden Age and Silver Age to base some of these things out of. I'm kind of with you, Bill. I've never been a fan of the dialogue either. It's very truncated at times, and I guess it's okay, but I loved it when he first came out and he was doing like Vision and things like that, but I don't like seeing it all the time. That's kind of where I'm falling behind on it. I will say though, this issue is really good, so I don't want to demean the quality of the book. I know I've hated on this book for quite a long time because it's not really what I wanted out of Batman. But I think since 50, we've gotten some really great stuff. And I've been really digging the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 issues probably.
Yeah, I would say I've been enjoying. This one, I had to read it a couple times because my biggest thing was like, okay, last issue. Things that happen with Alfred and that sort of thing. I wanted some kind of closure to know exactly what happened. Did it really happen? Did it not happen? But I understand that this issue had to be done, and it is done very well. And the art in here is just, that makes it even better.
Well, plus just knowing how comic books are usually plotted and structured, it was, I never expected that they would answer the question about Alfred's in the next issue. No, they're going to wait on this for a few issues, you know, to keep the suspense going. That's just the way they do. Yeah,
well, they're not, in reality, they're not killing Alfred. They're not.
Right, right.
Because if they would have killed Alfred, it would have been in the news, because all comic book deaths are, like, reported to some news agency, like, the day before it's released. Like the New York Times or USA Today or whatever it is. But none of that was done. You know, Captain America died. It was released the day before, you know. When Robin died, it was spoiled the day before in the news. There was no talk of this at all.
Yes. But I do wonder, had the wedding thing not been such a debacle, could they actually have gone through with it? Because, you know, there's been rumors about Luke Fox taking over the cowl, right? So, I mean, they could have killed Alfred in order to kind of get rid of Bruce Wayne.
Well, they did announce that Batman next year, or somebody wearing Batman's costume, is going to be African American. So.
Right.
Yeah. Luke Fox wasn't named specifically, but they just said, yeah, we'll be an African American.
Yeah, that's the assumption, right? Yeah. Right.
And that's not unprecedented. I mean, we've seen others, you know, for a time, Azrael was wearing the bat costume in Nightfall,
yeah. No.
And then Dick was wearing it at the end of.
And I would have no problem with it as long as it's a good story.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, absolutely. Some of the stories with Dick as Batman and Damian as Robin are still some of my absolute favorite stories.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So the other thing I wanted to bring up real quick was one of my favorite scenes in this issue, where Batman is standing there with his batarang and they're throwing it at each other, and he throws it and she catches it and she throws it back, and she wants him to throw it like he's angry. Throw it like I took it all away from you. And then he kind of just puts the batarang down and says no.
Mm-hmm.
I did like that. I mean, we get a lot of good, I said it before, a lot of good characterization into their relationship.
Yeah, this felt a little more to me like a Batman that I'm familiar with, instead of, you know, the kind of emo Batman we had for a little while there. So, yeah, I really like that interaction. It seems like he's kind of coming to terms with the things that have happened. And just kind of focusing on the training, kind of, but also trying to remedy the situation with Selina somehow.
So it appears he's coming out of this, you know, mentally broken stage. You think this was it?
I don't know if this is it, but it's the road to it, I would say.
Yeah, what I was thinking. So.
I mean, he's not going to be able to take Bane down if he's not focused.
Oh, no.
Now, that leads to something that you mentioned on Discord, it's Twitter yesterday, that one of your first reactions was that you didn't think that this advanced the City of Bane story very much. Mm-hmm. And I think that it did, because for two reasons, he has to come back. He has to kind of rebuild himself, and he's doing that now. So that's, in a way, advancing the story. He's preparing for what's going to happen next.
He has to heal.
Right. And I don't know what's going to be the result of the relationship between Bruce and Selina, but it's going to be part of whatever Tom King is doing with this and all of this. I mean, this whole, from issue one, that has been one of the main threads underlining everything, is their relationship. So. And we know he's going to go on after this to write that Batman Catwoman book. So he's probably setting up for some of that as well.
Yeah. Now, I did hear one theory. I heard that Alfred actually dies, but later, before the issue 85, somebody ends up putting Alfred in the pit and brings him back to life.
God, I hope not.
That, it's just a theory, so.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I hope it's a wrong theory.
Because then you would have to sacrifice somebody. Because the way that pit works, you sacrifice somebody to bring somebody back.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So I don't know. It'd be interesting. Anything else you want to add about this particular book?
It was good. I love the I love Bruce Wayne's secret identity as Tom Selleck.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that was fantastic. And I love the way Clay Mann draws Selina. Obviously, so does the bartender in this comic.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. The bartender was very impressed with the way she was drawn, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, bruh, that's your wife? No, it's not, bruh.
Okay, let's head to topic of the week.
The Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power.
So welcome to Topic of the Week, and the topic this week is, yesterday, as we record this, it is, jeez. This past Wednesday, which was September 11th, in Young Justice, it was revealed Tim Drake's new superhero name. And we all know what that was, right? After I told you about 15 minutes ago.
Yes.
It's Drake, or the Drake.
Genius. How creative.
Drake. So what do you think of his new comic book name, superhero name?
Well, for one, it's better than Rick, so that's a plus. However, I did not know this because I had not read Young Justice yet. So I looked it up before we started recording. And a Drake is a duck. And I think that is a terrible name.
Drake like is when you a said, duck.
When you said Drake, I was like, oh, maybe he's going to have like a dragon logo on his shirt. Like, that's kind of cool. Even though it's still stupid because his name is Tim Drake and he goes by Drake.
Yeah.
It's like Batman going by Bruce, you know?
Or Wayne. Just call me Wayne. Yeah.
Scummy Wayne. It seemed kind of silly. I think they could have picked a better name. But a duck? Like, that's terrible.
No, he has a robin and a duck. Well, they look similar, right?
They look nothing alike. Nothing alike. Yeah. I mean, ducks are very vicious. I don't know if you've ever gotten into an altercation with a duck. I cannot confirm nor deny that maybe at one point I got into a wrestling match with a duck. That's not a true story.
Who won?
But they are very vicious.
Oh, not a true story. Okay.
I mean, maybe. Like I said, I can't confirm nor deny. But they're vicious.
That's what happened at C2E2. I knew it. That was my second guess.
It's like geese. You know, they're pretty to look at. Don't get near them. They will eat you. It's true. Geese and duck have like giant teeth, dude. They will kill you.
They will kill you.
The vampires of the bird world.
But for myself, I don't understand the change. I mean, I don't see how it's an improvement or what it's furthering.
So, okay, let me be serious for a moment. I understand the move. It seems like maybe the point here, you know, Nightwing went through this many decades ago, right, where he wanted to get away from the shadow of Batman being, you know, Batman's sidekick. And so he just – his costume completely changed, did not use the same color scheme that a Robin would use. Arguably, it's at one point similar to Batman's color scheme, but that's irrelevant. But, you know, it was a very different image from Robin, right? Like Robin, you think like a small little baby bird that's like kind of cute and just like flies around. Nightwing, you're like, okay, this is like the little baby chick's all grown up now, right? He's going out on his own. I get that. And I think Tim kind of had a little bit of that going when he became Red Robin, except Red Robin is a terrible name. And, you know, he tried to do the same thing. The costume changed a little bit. It was still inspired by Robin, but not quite there. I mean, I guess Drake is different enough from Robin. It seems like a little bit of an edgier name. But again, if his last name wasn't Drake, I'd probably be okay with it.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing is his last name being Drake. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah. But, I mean, maybe he's getting out and doing his own thing. So, in which case, they should take him out of Young Justice and make him that kind of character. Because being in Young Justice still implies to me that you're a sidekick.
Yep. So, it'll be interesting. So,
it will. I mean, I guess, so, like I said, I didn't read the book, but I did read some of the information. He meets his Earth 3 counterpart, whose name is Drake. Right,
yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't know if there's enough backstory on that character to make an assumption. Why he thinks that's a cool name, I don't know. I think they could have done better, is all I'm saying. But I like the idea. I just don't like the name.
Yep, I agree. You never know if it'll stick, you know. And I don't know what the. If there's positivity or negativity about the name, but I haven't
heard.
Yeah, I
have no idea.
Yeah, so.
No idea.
So.
But surely there are thousands of species of birds. There could have been a better name.
But the Drake, it's like a duck. What's better?
Yes,
okay.
It's frightening.
Okay, so.
That's how you instill fear into the minds of villains. He just swooped down.
That sounds like a supervillain, you know, the Drake.
Yeah, just swooped down off a rooftop, quacking all the way down.
Yeah. So. Okay. Let's go ahead and head to Batman, The Curse of the White Knight.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored. I can be destroyed, but as a symbol. As a symbol, I can be incorruptible. I can be everlasting.
What symbol?
Something elemental, something terrifying.
Batman, Curse of the White Knight. Written, art, script and art by Sean Murphy. Colors by the incomparable Matt Hollingsworth. Art and world designs does the letters. This is quite a packed issue. We started in London, England, where Edmund Wayne, this is about 1685, is being transported to Newgate Prison for thievery in a big carriage. And on the way, the guard that's inside the carriage with him reveals himself to be a priest and asks Wayne if he chooses to follow the plan God has for him or to go on to prison. Well, Wayne, of course, says he accepts whatever God's plan, whatever will get him out of prison. You know, the priest kills the driver of the carriage and the other guard, and they escape and board a ship for America, where the priest is telling Wayne that his inheritance waits in Gotham Valley. And on the way, Wayne learns that the priest is part of the Knights Templar, specifically the sect called the Order of St. Dumas. And on the trip, the knight trains Wayne in sword combat and fighting. Then we shift to the present, where Bruce is reading from Edmund's journal, and this woman, Ruth, who was introduced in the first episode, arrives, tells Bruce that she runs the Batman Devastation Fund and is the financial handler for many of Gotham City's wealthy elite. She tells Bruce that his plan of revealing himself as Batman would have devastating financial and political effects on Gotham City, and that many people that he's worked with would go to prison for aiding and abetting a vigilante once his identity was known. Well, we shift again back to a public meeting where Jim Gordon is making a speech, and he's admitting and acknowledging that Jack Napier was correct in exposing some of the corruption in Gotham and announces that he's running for mayor. At that point, Joker appears on the platform mocking Gordon for incompetence and for being too stupid to realize that his daughter was Batgirl. We shift again back to Ruth's office, where Jean-Paul Vallée and two of his former military comrades are discussing the revenge plan and to be taken on Bruce Wayne and reclaiming his rightful inheritance. Another shift, and now Batman visits Harley Quinn to ask for her help in finding Joker. She says that Jack Napier is gone and that she has no interest in helping Batman with the current Joker. She doesn't feel anything for him. And then she reveals that she's pregnant. And the final action, we see Azrael and his companions are heavily armed with an assault vehicle and prepare to launch an attack on the Batcave in stately Wayne Manor. And they're assisted by Jervis Tetch, the Mad Hatter, who is somehow able to hack into Batman's network and disable all the defense systems. Well, Batman's able to disconnect the Batmobile from the network and use it to escape. So that covers what all is in that issue. It's pretty well packed, but this is a longer than normal issue. There's 33 pages of content. Typical comic books are 23 pages. I don't know. What are you guys thinking of this story, especially this concept of Vallée, Azrael, maybe having a legitimate claim to part of Gotham?
I love this.
I have to agree. I love it also.
Yeah, I love it. It reminds me of, oh God, what was that? You remember when Bruce Wayne got lost in time?
Yes.
And they had like Caveman Bruce Wayne and Pirate Wayne and all that. It reminds me of like an exploration of one of those
times. I was thinking the same thing because there was a time that was close to, you know, the age at the beginning that we saw at the beginning, whatever year that was. It seemed like something was similar during that time.
Yeah, I think it's really cool.
Azrael, that page where you see Azrael reaching for his sword and he has like a machine gun in his other hand. That's just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I love the way artwork. He looks.
Yeah, the artwork is just sublime as it always is with Murphy, but
This is an ongoing. Seriously.
I would love to see stuff like that, but
seriously, it doesn't have to be in current continuity. I mean, stuff like this is just great.
I mean, two issues in and it's already my favorite Bat book going right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, I agree.
The story is clever and Murphy seems to be very good at pacing. It doesn't move too fast or too slowly and he's getting the characters right. It's just, he's hitting on all cylinders with this.
And I love the scene, you know, where Bruce is having the sort of the confrontation with the lady. And she's like, if you reveal yourself, you're going to go to prison. You're going to beg to go to prison. I love that scene, the dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that whole thing with the elites has a little, like, hints of, like, the Court of Owls, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very cool. It's very creative. I like that Murphy's able to bring in some of these, like, older inspired stories and make something new out of it. And I love everything about this. I think we might have talked a little bit about, like, costume design, for example, which is just so simple but really makes an impact. You know, this is obviously a current story, maybe even slightly into the future, I would say. And you still see a little bit of that gothic aesthetic in Gotham that we're kind of used to. But you have all this technology, and yet you have Bruce with his mutton chops, right? and Gordon's wearing this like Victorian suit. It's awesome.
Yes, and Murphy's always one for putting some humorous Easter eggs in there, especially kind of with technology. In the first issue, there was one scene where Batman was handing Batgirl a 3.5-inch floppy disk. How long has it been? And in this one, if you didn't notice, the laptop that Jervis Tetchus is using has Amiga on it. Yeah. Amiga computers haven't been made since the 80s. So it's just...
Yeah. Yeah, it's very...
Floppy disks has been out for like 20-some years, I'm guessing.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Probably mid-90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. I'm digging it.
Absolutely.
I hope we get some more flashback scenes to this this original Wayne and how that whole thing went down. Because it seems like the reason Azrael is like coming to do this is he wants to regain his family's inheritance, right? Like Wayne was supposed to get half of Gotham, and then Azrael's family would have gotten the other half.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be interesting how this plays out. And I think they will. I don't see how they cannot have some more flashback scenes to help build the story.
And I love this ending. You know, this cliffhanger ending?
Yeah.
You know he survives, but just the effect of that one panel of, you know, the Jeep driving away and Wayne Manor just going up in flames. Blowing mm-hmm. up, basically. So.
Yep. Maybe Bruce is going to go back to his roots and hang out in his apartment, like in the Golden Age.
Yeah. Yep.
Could be. Could be. So, yeah, that was pretty good. Really liked this
very
one.
Good.
Yep. Yep. This was awesome. So who do we think the father is of Harley Quinn's child?
I mean, Napier, right?
I would think so.
Almost got to be Napier.
Yeah, yeah. So anything else you want to add about this particular one?
Nope.
Nope.
Okay. We will head to Stump the Co-Host.
It's time for the Batpod Stump the Co-Host segment.
Welcome to Stump the Co-Host. And this particular segment is my co-host's favorite segment. Am I right?
You got that right.
Yes. Don't sound too excited.
I played the Fifth Amendment on this one.
The Fifth. So, our topic this week is Bronze Age villains. You know a lot about the villains that showed up in the Bronze Age, do you?
I know a bit.
Okay. We'll start off with Jay, and I'm going to describe a villain, and then I'll give you multiple choice of different villains. You can tell me which villain I'm talking about. So, Jack Crane is a rogue police officer fired and disfigured in an accident. Is he A, the Night Thief, B, the Savage Skull, C, Snowman, or D, Anthony Lupus? Jack Crane was a rogue police officer fired, then he was disfigured in an accident. A, Night Thief, B, Savage Skull, C, Snowman, or D, Anthony Lupus.
I think Savage Skull, I think, is the answer to that.
It said Savage Skull. You are correct.
Good thing he's not around anymore.
Oh, come on. They could bring him back.
I mean, they could. He's been dead for 40 years.
Yeah, so his first appearance was in Batman number 360. The Night Thief actually was... First appearance was in Detective Comics 529. The Snowman was in Batman 337, and Anthony Lupus was in Batman 255. So, one for one. So, our next question. Which, and I know I'm going to pronounce this incorrectly, Which villain suffers from anhedonia, the inability to feel joy, and has the ability to steal joy?
Oh, boy.
Okay, which villain? I'm going to give you a list of villains here. And I know I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, but it's some disorder that you have the inability to feel joy and has the ability to steal joy. Is it A, Cosmo Kramer? Is it B, Cosmo Crystal? C, Cosmo Duggar? Or D, Cosmo Kung Fu?
Cosmo Duggar.
Cosmo Duggar. If you said Cosmo Duggar, that was correct.
Mm-hmm.
He first showed up in Batman 289. Cosmo Kramer, of course, was from Seinfeld. Cosmo Crystal. Well, that's my wife's first name, Crystal. And Cosmo Kung Fu is something I just made up. So you won.
Yes! Yes. Wait, we both won.
So we'd like to hear your cash and prizes.
Yes.
You've won 2 free meals at Gotham's original restaurant, 2 Sides of the Coin. It's a very classy restaurant. It takes at least 3 months to get in. The only problem, before you order, you have to flip Two Faces coin. So the good side, you get to get a nice, enjoyable meal. But if you get the scar side, let's just say that, you know, it might come out burnt to a crisp. It could taste like toe cheese or stale milk. So that's the chance you take. It's the thrill, the adventure of the thrill, you know, thrill of the adventure.
Very good.
Yeah.
I will say, Bronze Age, tons of Batman villains.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I went. That was just from stuff that I had read.
Yeah. That might be the golden age of Batman villains.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a ton. I didn't even touch many of them. So
you could have done a question on the greatest of Batman villains, which is the Ten-Eyed Man, of course. Duh.
The Ten-Eyed Man?
Yeah. Best of all time. He has eyeballs in his hands. I mean, come on. Can't get any better. You know how you defeat him? You put gloves on him. Bam.
There you go. That is pretty good. I like him. Yeah. So that was Stump the Co-Host. I gave you some easy ones. Gave you some cheese questions. So you got me this time. So let's go ahead and head to our last book.
Wait till they get a load of me.
Detective Comics 1011. I think they need to renumber. I can't say that many numbers. Written by Peter J. Tomasi with art by Christian Deuce. Maybe Duce? I don't know. And colors by Luis Guerrero. Letters by Rob Lee. Assistant editor Dave Ulgas. Editor Molly Mahan. And group editor Jamie S. Rich. So this is the shortest recap of any book you will ever hear. Batman rescues the people on the down plane. He fights Deadshot, punches him in the face, saves the day, disappears into the woods and talks to these World War II vets and leaves them a crate of books and food. The end. Now that recap makes no sense if you have not been reading this book. It was cool though. This was not my favorite issue of Tomasi's run. Just if my recap did not make that pretty obvious, I wasn't like terribly excited reading this issue, really this arc. But it was fine. I think what's more important about this is I've gotten used to reading Detective now as kind of like a vignette of old stories. And I think discussing this book previously, we've kind of mentioned how it doesn't really feel like what we've become accustomed to Detective being. Even like not even just recently. I'm talking about like 15, 20, 30 years. This feels a lot more like, I don't know, maybe like a Bronze Age book, say. Something like Brave and the Bold, where you get little vignettes and they're fun. Like, they're not super serious. There's jokes and there's like weird kooky stuff happening, and they're just like fun Batman stories. And I think that's really nice compared to the rest of the Batman lineup, where things can get really serious. And, you know, sometimes you have to spend some time thinking and processing everything that's going on, right? With Batman proper, with Curse of the White Knight, any of the other books. So it's nice to have just like this fun Batman book that you can just jump in and out whenever you want. I think in terms of the art, this is not my favorite by far. I think a book like Detective should always have top-notch artists. However, going back to that, you know, Bronze Age feel that this has, I think it's fine because it does kind of have maybe that look, that simpler look from 40-plus years ago. And if you read it in that way, then I think this book becomes a lot more enjoyable, at least in particular with this issue and the previous one.
I would have to agree. This particular art, I can't say that I loved it, but the story was entertaining, and you know, the last few, they've been, the thing with the Bronze Age is, that's how it felt with me, that, you know, it feels much different than anything else that we've been getting lately, which is fine. I like it to feel a little bit different and something a little bit exciting, and seeing these characters, which you don't necessarily see a lot of times in Detective.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause we get, Deadshot here, and previously we got the Spectre, and then we got some new villain that will probably show up again.
Yeah, and I think, Martin, you hit it pretty accurately when you talked about, you know, this is Detective Comics. So it's in, officially it's in continuity, but I think especially now, at least in recent years, the writer, whoever's writing Detective Comics, is somewhat limited in that he or she can't do something that's going to be contradictory or incongruent with what's happening in the Batman tile.
Mm-hmm.
Can I now? It didn't used to always be that way. 30, 40 years ago, Detective Comics was just as cutting edge as Batman proper was. But I think they're, you know, kind of afraid to let the writer of Detective get too creative in current times. So they've got these other, I don't want to call them feel good stories, but I mean, there are, this was definitely more lighthearted type story than we're getting in Batman.
I want to slightly correct you. Okay. And I don't know. I don't think you necessarily meant to say it that way. Not that they're not as creative. I think the stories are creative. They just can't trounce on what the mainline book is doing.
Right. Yeah, and that's, you're right. That is.
Yeah, yeah, they're like they number two. They're always going to be number two.
Mm-hmm. But see, that's fine. I mean, yeah. Like, my favorite books have always been the ones where, like, maybe don't necessarily deal with Batman. They just kind of have him in the background, right? Like, Shadow the Bat, or what was that other one that was kind of Gotham by Midnight, Gotham Knights, like those kind of books. And I don't think DC's really had that for a really long time, and this book is kind of filling in that space. And I think that's cool for someone like me, where, like, that's kind of what I really enjoyed growing up. So it's nice to see that.
Yeah. And I think once this double shipping stops, we're going to get another book. We're definitely going to get another Batman book. Because at the beginning of the year, you know, they're going to monthly, both Detective and Batman, so you know they're going to throw in another Batman book of some sort. So.
Bring back Shadow the Bat.
That would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of this book, we get a scene with Mr. Freeze.
Yes.
And it almost looks like he's recreating his wife.
Yeah, so he hands out pictures to his gang, pictures of women who have certain characteristics that Nora Freeze has. So maybe he's going to Frankenstein himself a new Nora Freeze.
Yeah, I'm not sure, because the last couple issues, you know, at the end there, they show her, so I don't know. That very well could be. The one thing that I wanted to bring up is the cover. The last couple issues, there was that one issue that had Mr. Freeze on the cover several issues ago, where Mr. Yeah. Freeze was only in one panel. And I liked how the Detective Comics logo was like frozen over. And then the next issue had, you know, the logo was kind of melting that had been frozen. And this one's kind of different because the logo's all the way at the bottom.
Right.
So it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of weird, right? Because yeah. usually when shops put them on shelves, not every shop, but some shops I've seen, this part of the book would actually be covered up.
Yeah, yeah. So that is a little odd. And they got the banner, Year of the Villain, Evil Unleashed.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you're getting every Year of the Villain, I guess, tie-in or whatever, to me, I would have been a little disappointed if I don't read Batman Detective Comics here. And I pick this up expecting, you know, you don't get anything but a tease. I think that's a little misleading by DC.
Yep.
So, that didn't bother me.
It didn't bother me because I read Detective all the time. But if it was just, if I was somebody that was just picking this up because...
Oh, Mr. Yeah. Oh, wow, Mr. Freeze story. And then you read it. You yeah. know. Well, there is a few pages in the back.
Yeah.
Not three.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, so.
They may have been trying to be overly clever on this. And yeah. could backfire on them.
Yeah. So, very good. So that was our show for tonight. Had some good issues there tonight. We really did. We had some good books. So if you'd like to contact the show, our email is batpodpodcast@gmail.com. We are on Twitter. It's @pod_bat. If you listen to the show on iTunes, please think about giving us an iTunes review. We'd really appreciate it. So, anything else you guys want to add?
Batman.
What are you drinking over there? Because I think I need
I
some.
I'm drinking water, actually.
Oh, okay.
Batman, he's great.
So, if that's everything, until next time, same bat time, same bat channel. We will see you later.